Okay, so I just add a courtesy for everybody who has been able to attend promptly. Let's make a start, and if we have any resolutions that we need to make, we'll need to go back and ratify those at such time as we're called. I suggest that's probably the best way to go. Okay, is that all right with everybody? Okay. So, let's make a start then. We have a number of apologies, and I'm sure we'll back to everybody. So we have apologies from Byron Holland, Vika Mistana, Wallace Narenda, Mary Wong, Peter Van Roo, and Hiro Hofsa. Have I missed anyone, Gabby?
No, nothing more.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. So the second item on our agenda is the minutes of our meeting in Toronto. Doesn't seem 5 minutes ago, back on the 17th of October. Can I firstly check if anyone has any alterations to make to the minutes or points of accuracy? They have already been circulated on the council list. No? Okay. In which case, we will assume that those minutes are accurate and agreed by the council. Gabby, could you talk us through the action, please?
Yes. We have action 7801, the secretary to seek council volunteers for a drafting team in order to submit a CCNSO council statement regarding the ICANN consolidated meeting strategy proposal. This has been done. We have action 7802. Sorry,
Gabby. Shall I just continue on that one? And in the end, we didn't get enough. We didn't get volunteers, did we not?
Yes, that was. We had two volunteers. That was very late, so we couldn't submit.
Okay.
May I say something?
Yes, could you speak up a bit? I don't know if anyone can hear you very well. I certainly can't.
Then I'll do it the other way around. So I think this is better. Could everybody who's not speaking mute their phone, please? Either on the Adobe Room or, say, by telephone. And use the Adobe Room to, if you want to comment.
It's star 6 to mute. Star 7 to unmute.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to go on, Bart, or was that just the request?
That was the request. We have the, say, CCNSO statement is agenda item 5 anyway.
Yes, okay. So, moving on, Gabby, 7802.
Yes, the secretary to post a link on the CCNSO website in order for the CCTLD community to upload entries to the local events calendar and also send out a reminder to the email list to provide information on upcoming events. This has been done, and the calendar is up and running, and actually I have received a few requests for upload also. It seems to work. Then we have action 7803, the secretary to launch a survey to seek a better understanding from the CCTLD community of the current need for translations. This action has been at least addressed. It hasn't been fulfilled. It's going to be done by the Beijing meeting. But we have a... Can whoever joined the call mute their phone?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay. Seems good now. No. Anyway, this is a long-term goal for Beijing. The next action, 7804, the secretary to provide an overview of the different methods for translation of documentation, including the costs associated, the quality of the translation, the supported languages, and the financing aspects. So again, this is a long-term goal for Beijing, but the issue has been addressed, so it's pending. But we know how we're on it. And then the last action, 7805, the council is to provide feedback to the CCNSO work plan on the email list. Bart, do you have anything to say about this?
Not really. I didn't receive any comments, but as you will see, it's part of the agenda.
Item 8 on the agenda. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've updated the version I've shared with you, and included another version on the more administrative activities of the CCNSO. There's still one upcoming, and that's on the CCTLD related ones, but I'm still trying to get my head around it.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Anything else, Gabby?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Any council member wish to, or observer for that matter, wish to raise anything else from those minutes, please? Okay, thank you very much for those. Let's move on then to the update section of the meeting. And I can begin as chair. So it doesn't seem 5 minutes ago we were all together, so not as much as usual to update you on, but a couple of things. Firstly, there has been a meeting planned between myself and Fadi as the new CEO for some time now. That seems to have been cancelled and then rearranged about 3 times to date. But he and I are hoping to have a Skype call next week, I believe. So I'll then be able to update council members after that. And that's really part of his general induction to ICANN, and obviously one hopes to brief him on the CCNSO. Next up, I dealt with a query, a stroke complaint during the CCNSO elections, and that's separately covered under the agenda. Next, I met with the two vice chairs whilst we were all at the IGF in Baku for a general catch-up and also to draft this agenda with the help of the secretariat. I then had a conference with the new GNSO chair, Jonathan Robinson, who I've known anyway actually for some time. He's an ex-ward member of Nominet. But in his new capacity as GNSO chair, we did have a discussion around the meetings that the council has had with the GNSO council, and how he intends to approach the challenges of chairing the GNSO, which will be interesting. I also met together with Bart with Ray Polzak on the CCNSO review. You'll recall that there's a review of the CCNSO periodically as part of the ICANN schedule of reviews, and we talked about some amendments to that. The idea is that the CCNSO would have a bit more involvement than previously in the terms of reference for the review before it actually starts. And you may well recall, those of you that have been around for some time with me, that we didn't really have a great deal of involvement to the previous review terms of reference, which meant when it came out, we were concerned that the terms of reference appeared to us to have shifted a bit. But anyway, we will have involvement into the terms of reference of the review when it arrives. The other point that Ray and I discussed was the time frame for the review, in the sense of the review itself and then the outputs come out to the CCNSO before they're then submitted more widely and so on. And in the draft timeline that Ray shared, there were only 2 months for the CCNSO to consider that report, which to me seemed like a very short amount of time. I did discuss that with both Byron and Keith while we were in Baku, and they felt also that would be rather unrealistic. So my intent is to go back to Ray and to advise him that the CCNSO would probably like longer to consider the outputs of any review. Happy to take questions on any of that. No? Deadly silence? Okay. So, let's move on then to vice chair updates. I know we're missing Byron from the call, but I think Keith is with us. Keith, a vice chair update?
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, I also attended the BECU IGF, as Leslie just commented, and since Toronto, also attended two ISOC board meetings. We've had two framework of interpretation working group calls, and been through the harrowing process of an election for CCNSO Council. And looking ahead, we have an APTLD meeting coming up in the last week of November in Taiwan, and I'll be doing a presentation, a CCNSO update for that meeting, and then on to WCIT in Dubai for the first 2 weeks of December. So even though it's not very long ago that we met, it's been a fairly harrowing time all round. And that's it from me. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, Keith, and congratulations on your re-election.
Thank you.
Okay. Any councillors have any updates, please?
Yes, hello, Leslie. This is Roloff.
Hi, Roloff.
Hello. Just a quick update about CCNSO membership applications. I mentioned during our meeting in Toronto that we had received an application from .rw, but that there were some errors in the application and that we were in contact, or Gabi was in contact with the applicant to see if that could be corrected. Since then, we've not heard from them. There have been reminders, but so far we haven't heard from them, so that application is still pending. And since Toronto, we received two fake applications, which we get on a regular basis, to be fair, from .pf and .tt. PF is already a member, and the other one is also a fake. So we're not doing anything with it. That's all.
Thank you very much, Roland. Anyone else? No? Okay, let's move on to the regional organizations update. I think I heard Carolina on the call.
Well, since we last convened in Toronto, we haven't had any meetings or workshops, but we will have a board meeting in Sao Paulo next weekend to discuss LAC-TLD strategy, and we are planning our next workshop for March, so with Center in Barcelona. So those are our updates on our side.
Thank you very much, Carolina. Well, I know we're meeting Peter, so let me go to Barak and then Jan. Barak?
Hello.
Hi, Barak.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Very faintly, you'll need to shout.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can, Barak. Do go ahead.
Okay, for AFCLD, we are having training in Khartoum, Sudan, from 24th to 29th November. That is starting this Saturday. Will be alongside the 17th AFRINIC meeting. So that is the plan that we have towards the end of the year. We are also looking forward to launching a DMS Tech program, a DMS Tech and CCTLD program for African CCTLD to the Internet Society. So far we are looking at conducting a research after which we will launch the program, possibly at the beginning of the year 2013.
Okay, thank you very much for that. So for those of you who probably had a bit of poor sound quality, Sarah was saying about some DNSSEC training for African CCTRD. Let's move on to Jan.
Hi, Leslie. This is Jan. We're having our next APTLD members meeting coming next week, actually. So we're quite busy to prepare our next members meeting. And also, we're going to have a CIM training after members meeting. So also I'm preparing for that. We also had a board meeting to discuss the membership eligibility. We're going to have membership eligibility discussion during our members meeting. That's pretty much it for from APTLD.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Any questions for any of the regional organizations? No? Okay, let's move on to the staff update. If I could do Bart, then Gabby, then Christina. Bart? Are you with us, Bart?
Yes, now you can hear me. I was on mute. I was just saying maybe you've noticed, but Kurt Pritz resigned due to a conflict of interest in relation to his new GTLD activities. I don't know, and that's the interest probably for the CCNSO and especially for the SOP working group. I don't know yet what the impact will be on the strategic and operational, especially on the strategic planning process. As soon as I hear something, I'll let the SOP working group and the council know.
Thank you, Bart. Yes, we had heard. Gabby?
Well, I've been busy with the council elections, but that's next point. But I can also report that I've been in touch with both the Vietnamese registry and some government official from Vietnam, and they're very interested in joining the CCNSO. I've shared loads of emails with them, and I'm not sure why they haven't applied yet, but it seems that it seems to be on the way. So they're very interested in joining. That's all for me.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Christina?
Nothing for me. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. All right. Let's move on then, as you've so nicely trailed, Gabby, to the section on elections. And we had two election reports and also a summary of an email conversation between Gabby and Bill Sennett. Now, I'm aware that this could be quite an area of some discussion, so I guess let me just draw a few points from my perspective as chair and then see where we go. So I think in both cases, the turnout was only just over half of CCNSO members. I would observe that there were some difficulties in voting. There is a request to have more public who has voted and a voting contact list. And also there were some concerns around some behaviours. That was my brief kind of reminder of the things that I think as a council we ought to give some thought to. Happy to open it up to people's views and also your view on a way forward. Who would like to start?
Leslie, this is Ronald.
Hi, Ronald.
Hello.
You're very faint. That's better.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I went through both the reports. First of all, on those, I was a bit surprised to learn about the relatively low number of people in the electorate that actually voted or that were able to submit their vote without problems. So I think that is something that we should look into and try to improve that. I went through the correspondence between Gabi and Bill as well, and there. Well, I think that it's something that we should not we should do now, because the present documentation on how an election is run is quite clear on what kind of information will be published. And I think it would be a good line not to publish any other information. I think that the request goes a bit far in the sense of supplying contact information and supplying the names of people, persons who actually voted. I wouldn't really know if that's a common thing. But my suggestion would be that we take this subject up and we come to... If we conclude that we have that, we come to changes in the voting procedure, and we make very clear what kind of information will be published before and after the voting, and that any other information will not be published. But I think there, in my opinion, there seems to be a possibility to improve certain things, both to ensure that it is easier to successfully submit a vote, and in the sense that we will get more from the electorate that actually votes, and also think that we can be a bit more transparent, but I don't think we should do that with regard to those two elections we have just had, but that we first look at the procedures and then decide to change them if we think that's necessary, and then implement those changes in the next coming round of votes, or voting, next elections.
Okay, thank you, Rolf. Now, I'm going to ask Andy to comment in a minute, because, of course, as you can imagine, he has first-hand experience of all of those things. But before I do that, anyone else like to make any comments or express concerns?
Leslie, it's Keith. Just an observation on the way through this election. There seems to be an assumption from many of the members that their IANA database information is also the CCNSO information on who's voting, and of course we know that's not actually the case. So, creeping error in people's minds probably contributed to some of the votes or non-votes because the actual voter had resigned from the company, had nothing more to do with the company, their email address was gone, etc. So I think there's a definite need to look at the processes. I think, remember, our processes were designed around less than 10 or 12 CCTLDs per region, and now we're into the 40 CCTLDs per region, 136 members in all. It's probably a time to review the process from top to bottom. I agree with Roloff, looking backwards is not potentially the ideal way to go, but when things have settled down, it might be worthwhile having a small group, having a closer look at processes for the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Keith. Anyone else?
Hello, it's Katrina. I also have some comments. I also was surprised reading the report, and particularly by the burden of unnecessary work that the Secretariat has to carry out. I think the process definitely has to be reviewed and made simpler and more transparent. But the question is, if it requires some changes in technical solution, is it possible to do that?
Okay. And I should say welcome.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very glad to join.
Excellent. Okay. So I think what I'm taking so far is that we have some issues that are worthy of some further thought, that we shouldn't make retrospective changes. We shouldn't make changes that, in terms of disclosure, might, for example, reveal who had voted for the last time, that any changes we make would take effect from future elections. And I think there seems to be a suggestion that we do some further review. As Keith quite rightly said, it's some time since the election process was set up. We're very different in number now. And as Roloff said, you know, we need to think about how we encourage a higher turnout as well.
This is just a, I don't know why, but this call, I can't seem, and I don't know if it's just me, but what you're saying is sometimes kind of muffled.
I do apologize, Adam. I have no idea why. It's raining in Oxford, but maybe it's that effect.
No, your audio is coming in loud and clear in New Zealand, and you can't get any further away.
I can hear Roloff and Keith and most others very clearly, but what you're saying is kind of being cut off, so I'm having a hard time.
I have a problem hearing you too, Leslie, today. I don't know why. Yes, today.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay, let me try to switch on to a different thing. If I cut off, you'll need to share it without me. Hang on a sec. Right. Is that any better? We'll see.
Oh, much better.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, so what I was just saying is that I think we're headed towards some sort of review, and that any recommendations from that review would not be retrospective. I.e. they would apply to elections in 2013 onwards, and that we ought to think about, whether the contact list of voters and how we make that more current. We ought to think about turnout in elections and to what extent the information is public as well. Gabby, given you're our election manager, would you like to come in and add some thoughts?
Yes, I don't really know where to begin because it's actually a lot. Elections were really messy, but I can just say some general things. We always, at every election, we had problems with the ballots, and we do technical checks and see from our end if the ballots reached its destination. And we can see that they did. And the problem is mostly because the registry don't know who their primary contact is. Or, as Keith mentioned, they might think they have updated it because they updated it in the IANA database, but so they think it's updated with us as well. So that's an alternative. Otherwise, it's very often caught in a spam filter or whatever. But it actually does reach the destination. I don't know. Some people just don't find them, and I don't know why. But we can see from our end that they actually have reached their destination. We did have some technical problems with some ballots, with some email votes, which you could vote through a link. That was because they were submitted in HTML. But these problems are actually—it's nothing new. It was just an increased amount now because we had two elections ongoing. So that's been a problem for a long while. And I'm actually going to be in Los Angeles next week, and I'm going to talk to our technical department to see what other possibilities there are to vote, because I am not totally keen on these voting ballots. They create more problems than help. There is one positive thing with the voting ballots, and that's they have a number. So every time someone votes, I get an email. I can see who votes, and I get an email. I can see the number of the ballot and what they voted for. So if someone would ask, say, or request to see if I actually counted the votes correctly, I could proof it by showing just the number of the ballot. Then you would not see who voted for whom, and I would just have to, show the ballots that I received with the numbers. That's the plus. But since we have such problems with these ballots, I always have to approve direct email votes anyway. So I would not be able today to publish a list that is totally anonymous. So today it doesn't work. So I'm very keen on looking into this voting ballot system. I think it's a problem that people don't update or check who their primary contact is. That's from my end the most urgent issues, and as well, of course, the numbers of people that need to vote. I really don't know how to make people vote. Maybe we should start giving gadgets because it helps with the meeting survey. I don't know. No, these are my main concerns. But I would very much welcome to review the whole system because I think it's it was probably designed for less people voting, and it's just every year the problems are increasing.
Okay. We hear
Leslie, this is Bart. May I add something?
Yes, of course.
There are, in fact, I think, two issues at the heart of it. First of all is, and that's probably the review everybody's referring to, is the review of the guidelines, whether they're still up to date. And these are based, say, Gabi is working on the basis of the guidelines, and these are dated 2008. So that's one issue. The second one is the way it's implemented, and that's the ballot system. And this is where you can see a lot of more logistical administrative issues, and that's what Gabi was referring to, and which we will look into with, say, IT department, but it needs to reflect the guidelines. A third issue which is upcoming is, and that's associated with it, the voting is not just for council elections, but it's also in case of, say adoption of or the members vote in the PDP itself, in the PDP. Again, we use the what we've used the one time we had a PDP is a members vote based on the same logistics. And if you look at the IDM PDP, the expected date for a members vote will be just after the Beijing meeting, hopefully. That's all I wanted to contribute.
Okay, thank you, Bob. So I think I am hearing general support for a review, that the review should cover the guidelines themselves, which are not bylaws, they're not in the ICANN bylaws, but it is a guideline of the CCNSO, that should also look at turnout and the process of the ballot itself as well. I suggest that we form a small subcommittee to do some thinking on that, hopefully supported by Bart and Gabi, given your experience of this so far, and then ask that subcommittee to come back to the council with some recommendations and some further thoughts. Now, obviously, I'd appreciate people's comments on that as a proposal.
Hello, Leslie. This is Rulof. Excellent. As far as
Hi, Rulof.
Fine with me.
Excellent. Thank you.
And Keith here too, Leslie, and fine with me too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Same here. Anyone? Thank you. Anyone have any problems with that? Okay. Now, unfortunately, we're not quorate, so we can't actually resolve to do that. But I suggest on this and any other resolutions, Bart and Gabi, if we could capture those and send those to the council list, we'll need to do an email resolution.
Yes, and we'll do it as soon as possible.
So if I continue that thread just a moment then, we would need to also ask for volunteers to that subcommittee and ideally reporting into either our January or February council calls in order that we could consider it in time for the IDN vote.
Leslie,
okay.
This is Bart.
Given
we entering the holiday season, may I suggest February?
Mm-hmm.
because...
By all means, I was being slightly optimistic with January, I think.
Yeah, because it's scheduled for the 8th of January, and probably a lot of people will be still on holiday.
Indeed, thank you. Okay, let's move on then, because we've still got quite a few things on our agenda. The next item was CCNSO statements. And you recall that we touched on this earlier, the metrics statement. Bart, were you going to speak to this one?
Yes, very briefly. It's on the agenda that was under the assumption that the GNSO would have adopted the advice of the metrics working group. Say, what I've seen is they discussed it on the GNSO Council meeting of the 15th of November, but there was no resolution. It was just an update on the changes to the advice. So I think at this stage we do not need to appoint or look for volunteers because we don't know what the full advice will be.
Okay, thank you. And the next one was the ICANN consolidated meetings.
Again, we sent out just after the Toronto meeting, we sent out a call for volunteers. Only after the the second round, Hong and Margarita kindly volunteered, but that was already way into the process. So, and with just two councillors looking at into it, and without the experience of people who've organised it. I suggested that we would not continue this.
Okay, thank you. Anyone, any questions or comments on those two? Okay, let's move on then. The next item on the agenda is the advice from the CCNSO to the NOMCOM. And there was a late circulation of a paper on this one, which hopefully people have been able to see. But let me just talk to it because it's not a very long paper. So it's traditional that the NOMCOM have asked for CCNSO inputs about what are our requirements for NOMCOM appointees to the CCNSO Council. And as all of us will be aware, we have a council of 15 councillors, 3 from each geographic region, and 3 from the nominating committee. And therefore, our previous advice to NOMCOM has been that the nominations committee route does not appoint members to the CCNSO who are directly or indirectly associated with a CCTRD manager, either as a board member, employee or advisor, or a board member or employee of a regional organization. That has been the previous advice, and the recommendation is that we have the same advice, but add to that that we ask specifically for the NOMCOM to ensure that the candidate is able to commit sufficient time to the work of the CCNSO as well. Now, Jan, I know you've been our NOMCOM appointee, and Margarita, you also have some experience as well of being in that role. I don't know if either of you would want to add anything to that proposal.
Hello, this is Margarita. My feeling about this hard work in order to have the best candidate between the candidates that we have, it's normally the time that you need in terms of participating in council. And the other thing is that sometimes it's hard because you need somebody who have to be supported by an organization or by themselves in terms of economical matters. So the hard part is trying to find some people that are connected with these issues in order to do not have a big gap in order to produce something or participate actively in CCNSO activities. But the other hand is that normally it's hard to find people that could be young enough to have the energy to participate.
Okay, thank you, Margarita. Jan, did you want to comment?
Hi, this is Jan. I think, you know, no matter what decision we made, you know, from CCNSO Council, it got to be clear, first of all, because, you know, my feeling with NONCOM is right now they're not very clear what is our requirement is. I think from my point of view, they got quite confused, you know, what do we mean when we say we don't want any CCTLD manager to be, you know, elected by NONCOM to CCSO Council. They're not clear the definition what is the CCTLD manager. I'm reading the paper Bart sent out because I didn't get a chance to read it before. I think it's much clearer now, you know. Actually the last year, with last year's appointee is when we had discussion in NONCOM, some NONCOM members did mention, you know, CCSO has otherwise not have people from CCSO to be nominated to ICANN board. Actually, I was quite shocked, you know, by that statement because I never, you know, I never heard about that before. So I think definitely, you know, this kind of paper, you know, is going to be helpful to make it clear what is our requirement is. But I'm not sure, what I'm not sure is, because in the BART paper, it did say, by definition, it's CCISO people related with the CCTLD manager, including the board member, the employee, or the advisor, you know, that's include all. And also it says for the regional organization, you know, anybody on the regional organization board or employee of a regional organization, you know, it wouldn't be qualified. I'm not sure about that because I think it should be discussed, actually. But I think it definitely will be helpful, this kind of paper, because, you know, at least it's going to make it clear. You know, instead of we had this kind of debate, you know, during the discussion of the candidates, you know, it should be clear before, you know, applicants apply for the position.
Absolutely. That's the intention of this advice. So just to add to what you're saying, and, you know, I remember this one when I was previously on the council and others will as well, the intent really wasn't to rule people out. It was to really make a clear division between the people who go through the election route, and we touched on that earlier, which one would expect would come through the CCTLD manager or through a regional organization. They would be in some way either directly or indirectly associated with those. It was to give some clear water that people who came from a NONCOM route were not from a similar pool, as it were, that they were in effect the equivalent of independent directors that you might have on a legal board, for example, that they would bring independence and relevant experience, of course, but independence as opposed to the elected route. So that different kind of thing, different status, but equally when everyone's on the council, it's completely the same. Yeah. And I think the ICANN board point was the second paragraph on that advice. I was going to go on to that in a minute. So let's just capture the councillors through the NOMCOMs first. Would anyone else like to come in?
Mrs. Youngham?
No, for Cheryl here.
Okay, Youngham and then Cheryl, please.
Okay. I'm wondering if we don't need to include something that says that the candidate should be at least somewhat familiar with the CC issues. I mean, or is that just naturally a given? We don't even need to mention it.
How do we deal with that currently, Jan?
There's no standard actually right now. That's another question has been discussed. In Lancom, what kind of people do we need? You know, on one side, we need somebody familiar with CCISO issues. But on the other side, we're also saying we need some fresh breath. Some new people, some outsiders, elected by non-com, appointed by non-com to the CCISO council. Once again, I think it's up to the council, to decide. But I think definitely, candidates should, for some level, should be familiar with the issues, in CCISO. And also has some experience, for example, has at least attended, some CCISO meetings or so, I think that's the bottom line.
Okay. It's a shame we've not got, obviously we've lost over the time being, or Sokol or Mary on the call. Cheryl, you wanted to come in.
Yes, thanks very much, Leslie. I just wanted to chat very briefly and remove my liaison from the at-large advisory committee hat and hop on my chair elective and nomination committee hat and thank the council most sincerely for this step of clarity. As Jan has mentioned, there has been in the past some grey areas when it comes to discussion and debate, and I think this is the type of document that will make a huge difference. But what I wanted to do with that is say I would like to think that when the council sends this forward to the nominating committee, that it will also allow us to use this information in our outreach so that prospective candidates are also bleedingly obviously clear that what you're intending to do is attract, and quite rightly so, of course you know how I feel about independent directors, the type of material that you as a council believe you're looking for. On the matter of knowledge, however, of the CCTLD community and CCNSO itself, there are, of course, very specific questions in the SOIs that go to general understanding about the DMS, about ICANN, and about the component parts of ICANN, including a probe question which allows, I think, more than adequate material to be gathered, albeit in a sort of general way as to what a candidate would think that they are eminently suitable for the role that they are applying for. So in the case of someone who wished to be considered for the CCNSO Council, if one failed to mention in that response why they understood what on earth CCTLD operators do and what the CCNSO is all about, I think they'd be probably lacking in their general skills anyway. So I guess from this year, those questions are already set. But if it becomes a problem, I would very much want to review that question for more probing and specific feedback from candidates to tease out exactly what they do have in terms of CCTLD experience if the council does want to have that more granularly done. So to take more time than I intended, but if you will allow us to also use this material on our outreach so people know what we're asking for, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Youngham, does that address your concern?
Actually, I had a hard time hearing Cheryl, but I did get the major gist of it, and I think in part it does answer my
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the second section of this paper was on the appointment of board members and making it clearer that we do not have specific advice to NOMCOM, and there's no need to exclude anybody. And I have heard anecdotally that there was a thought that we had. So this text was designed to make it much clearer that we have not. And if we can correct the typo in the final line, that would be great. But could I ask if anyone has any comments specifically on the ICANN board element text that we're proposing? No? Okie doke. So what I suggest then is that there is a resolution that accepts those two sets of draft text as the advice from the CCNSO to the NOMCOM. Does anyone on the call object to that, please? We'll need to take it to the email list, obviously.
Leslie?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to kind of ask is ask whether if it's something that we should think about or not, is that with regard to the CCNSO counselors, we say that they should not be associated with any CCTLDs. But with the ICANN board members, I know it's a different situation, but we do have CC nominees to the board. I mean, I agree with what's written here, but I'm just wondering if people outside the CC might have questions about this, the fact that we have CC members, I mean CC representatives to the board, and the fact that we also say that any CC member could also be a member of the board.
Thank you, Yagam. Just to be clear, I mean, how this text arose is that there are other communities within ICANN, and Cheryl may be able to help me here, that have made statements in effect to say the equivalent, and the CCNSO had not.
Okay. Yeah. While I was saying what I was saying, I just realized that. So, okay.
Okay.
Surely, Leslie, that's correct. If I may, we also need to realise that the board itself gives a specific briefing to the nominating committee, and it's along exactly the same lines that the type of candidate that they are looking for us to be looking for are those that don't have a natural election pathway as well. So this brings it all into sync. Thank you.
Okay, I'm very mindful of time and I don't wish to prolong the call too much. Can I suggest we take those two proposed texts to the email list along with that resolution from earlier for a council vote? Anyone, any problems with that? Okay, thank you. Let's move on then to the rest of the agenda. Now, we could have another long discussion, given the email discussion was quite a long one, on the participation in the GNSO or other working groups. I think time, given it's not urgent, I suggest we defer that to our next
council call, and also item 8, which is the work plan update that only arrived just earlier. And again, I think I'd like Bart to speak to that and for us to do it proper justice. But does anyone have any urgent matters to raise on either of those 2 points? Okay, thank you. Let's take both of those to our next call then, please, and move on to something much more exciting, which is celebrating 10 years of the CCNSO. Believe it or not, we're coming up to 10 years in Durban, and the suggestion was that we ought to do something nice stroke special to celebrate that. Again, I think I would like to suggest a couple of people who might be interested in some ideas get together and come back to the council with some ideas. So that my proposal would be that we have a brief kind of thinking subcommittee to do some thoughts on that, and that we call for volunteers via the council list. Is that okay with everybody?
Agreed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know I'm rushing you a bit.
Yeah.
But that's a nice one to get involved in, so I'm sure we won't be short of volunteers for that. Okay, let's move on then to the working group updates. Roloff, we have the SOP as item 1, and we have the comments that the SOP made to ICANN.
Yeah, two items. One is already on the agenda. I submitted the SOP comments on the ICANN draft strategic plan on the 12th of November. I would say exactly along the lines as I presented them during the CCNSO meeting in Toronto. And the other thing is that I sent the council an email informing them about the request from Rosalia Morales, the new executive director for the Costa Rica CCTLD. She wanted to become a member of the SOP. I sent you that information on the 6th of November and asked to get a reply if anybody had any objections to a membership of the SOP before Friday. That would have been the 9th of November. I didn't get any objections, so as far as I know, I will be able to confirm to her and to the rest of the SOP working group that she's been accepted as a member.
Indeed. On the first point, Roloff, would it be helpful if the council resolved to support that statement that the SOP made?
That would always be helpful, I think.
Okay. Anyone any thoughts on that?
No, I was just kidding. Sorry.
You broke up, so I couldn't hear you anyway.
Excellent. So how would you...
Okay. So I was going to suggest that the resolution is that the council resolve to support the comments of the SOP working group on the draft ICANN strategic plan. Again, because we're not CORAT, that would need to go to the council list. Anyone any thoughts on taking that forward as a resolution?
I agree with doing that.
Yeah, I would support
Excellent.
That.
Thank you very much.
Leslie,
okay, we'll
Leslie, this is Bart.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
Do you want to do it in the format of a submission to the... Because I think the reply period is still open. Or just as a council resolution and minute it?
I think it's a council resolution and minute it, and then we could submit it as within the... whether it needs to go.
Yeah. Okay, we'll sort it out.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else from the SOP, Roloff?
Nope. That's it.
Thank you. Okay, moving on then to the framework of interpretation.
Thanks, Leslie. The FOI working group has met twice since Toronto, and they're still making slow but steady progress on the topic of revocation. We've got to a point with some aspects of our work where we have consensus but we don't have unanimity, so I'm working hard on the group to try and achieve unanimity on the basis that I think this is such an important topic that any dissent needs to be at least debated to the nth degree. So we are progressing and I think we'll get there. It's just a lot slower than I thought. But that's it for me.
Okay, thank you. I'll assume if anyone has any questions or comments that you'll raise them either in the chat room or shout. Next up is the JIG, Jan.
Leslie, fellow councillors, I'm very sorry, but my next appointment has arrived, so I have to leave this call.
Thank you, Roloff. Sorry,
okay.
It ran over.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you, Leslie.
Bye. Bye-bye. Jan, we have the JIG.
Hi,
anything to report?
Yes, we had a JAG meeting here in Toronto, and also we have a meeting last week. We're working on the IDN Universal Acceptance final report. So it's still in the progress. We're still under discussion.
Okay, thank you, Jan. Excellent, thank you. The next up is the DSSA, Bart.
Just briefly, DSSA has published its phase one report. There will be a summary and analysis of our comments of the few the DSSA received, and it will monitor what's going on with the board risk framework, what the contractor under the board risk framework committee will do. And interact with the contractor, and it will go slowly up to the Beijing to assess what it will do post-Beijing.
Thank you, Bart. Next up is the meetings program working group, but we don't have Vika.
I thought you were going to rush on to the next one. I can give a brief update because... there was a call yesterday, so I can just very briefly update you that the first draft agenda was discussed, and we hope to publish the first draft agenda before the end of the year. And the topic of the panel discussion that will be non-for-profit. And other topics will be outreach and probably widgets, and we will probably also look into the future of the future layout of ICANN meetings.
Okay,
thank you
very much for that. I was just going to make the suggestion that if somebody does give apologies and we know we're asking them to report back from a working group, if maybe at the same time we could ask them for an email summary, that maybe would make your job slightly easier. Okay, so next is the study group on capacity building. Fernando?
We held a meeting last week to continue our discussions with the group. We actually discussed a prioritization template and a prioritization model that were drafted by Gabby and Bart. And on our next call, we will actually use the Adobe room to go through a couple of examples so everybody understands what we're trying to do within the group as far as the prioritization model. So at this stage, we are continuing to make progress, and our goal is still to have the work completed prior to the Beijing meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, Fernando. The IDN PDP Working Group 1. Bart, and I don't know if you can cover two because I know Hero's not on the call.
Yes, it's. I'll do both at the same time. It's IDN PDP Working Group 1. Public comments have been closed. I'm drafting the summary again of the comments received, and there were some very interesting ones, one from ALAC and say on the one hand side, and the other ones from some CCTLD managers and one from the Greek government, which it shows that it works. So based on the summary comments, we'll update the final report, some minor additions to it and changes, and then it will be published and included in the interim report. The IDM Working Group 2 has adopted its final report as well, and that will be included in the interim report and published hopefully before the end of this year, so we are on schedule for the full PDP to reach membership vote post Beijing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And you're still on for the incident response repository.
Yes, the incident has been meeting a couple of times prior to the Toronto meeting. They are working their way through on, defining the requirements for an incident response repository. They are also already they needed to find a format to doing so. So they're working on a draft request for proposal. That's the easiest structure. There are two topics that still need to be addressed. One is the governance model, and the other one is the funding model for such a repository. And they planning to submit it and present it to the council at the Beijing meeting.
To the council or to the entirety?
To the community and the council, but so because it's there is an intermediate step for the council there as well.
Thank you very much, Bart. Next is requests for comments or inputs. Bart, have we any additionals there?
Not at this stage. One of the interesting things Fernando didn't touch upon is that the study group, the capacity building group, has adopted a kind of mechanism to monitor what's going on, a kind of triage committee from the council in order to ensure that the CCTLD and the CCNSO is informed of all the initiatives and advice on whether or not to take any action on that one. But I'd say since the Toronto meeting, there has been no request for public comments directly related to the CCTLDs as I've seen it.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have the ICANN outreach program at Sokol. Sokol is typing.
Do you want me to read it?
Go ahead, Christina.
Okay. So Sokol is saying, there has not been any new development from the meeting we had in Toronto. And as you have heard from Kurt Pritz, ICANN Chief Strategy Officer, who was coordinating all of this, has resigned from his position recently.
Okay. So we will await a further update on that in due course, I'm sure. Obviously, Sokol can keep us updated. And thank you, Sokol. I hear you have problems with your mic, but I can see you all typing, so thank you very much. Next, we have the ICANN Academy. I think, is Hong on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call. Academy Working Group. Oh, hi. After Toronto has composed a drafting panel to complete a questionnaire, which is going to be circulated to all the SOs or ACs. The questionnaire will soon be available in our mailing list. The purpose of the survey is to know the need of all the constituency on capacity building and want to know what is going on in all the SOSCs with respect to the capacity building. I'm in the drafting panel. I know all the questions that's going to be circulated. It seems to me that the most practical solution will be once we've got the question in our list, I will work with Gabi or Bart to draft a preliminary answer and then circulate for the council to approve, to edit or supplement it. I guess the most important capacity building we're doing right now is the Tech Day. I've already reported to the Academy Working Group. They're great. That's very important capacity building program. Right, so that is. We're looking forward to see that questionnaire. Back to you, Leslie.
Okay, thank you, Hong. When do you think that might go on our agenda, for the January or the February council call?
I think it most probably before, I hope it will be done before our next call in December. Do we have a call in December?
We do indeed, on the 11th.
Okay. Well, probably by the end of December, but I will see what I can do, right?
Okay, thank you. I'm just trying to plan our agendas a bit better, seeing as we go over the hour inevitably. Okay, so thank you everyone for all of those various updates. It's quite clear there's a lot of work going on, a lot of varied work going on as well. Let me move on then finally to the liaison updates. I know we have Hang Xuan and Ron on this call, and thank you to both of you for providing those updates via email. Was there anything you'd like to add, Hang Xuan, firstly?
Just those two items. So if there's any questions, I'll be willing to take them.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for Hang Xuan next, please? No, thank you very much. And next up, the ALAC liaison, Ron. Anything you wanted to add, Ron? I know Ron's on the call, but we might have lost microphone contact. Are there any questions or comments on the ALAC report? No? Okay, thank you very much. Ron Sherwood is now typing. This is the we have the Adobe room and the phone and papers to monitor as chair. It's always good fun. I'll leave Ron to type just a minute, and whilst he's doing that, let's move on to the last item, which is just to note the next meetings, the 11th of December, the 8th of January, and the 12th of February. Please could I ask everyone to ensure that you have those dates in your diary, and if I can ask Abby and Bart to ensure that those dates are added as a reminder to that list of resolutions from earlier, that would be helpful. As you will have gathered, we've struggled to achieve a quorum for this call, very good if we can get the dates in the diary, and thank you to everybody who has attended that call. It's been most appreciated. Is there Ron has now finished typing to say no mic, and sorry, the new links will be sent soon. I didn't get the confirmations that were expected by last Friday, and I will send the new links soon. So thank you, Ron, for that. Can I ask if there is any other business, please? No, in which case, thank you very much, everybody, and I'm sorry the call overran, but we had some important issues to discuss, and thank you very much for your time and attention today. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Leslie.